Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. It is October 3rd, 2011. We say that at the top because many of you do listen to this as a download, and we appreciate you listening to the program, whichever way you do it. Good to have you be with us. We've got an exciting program again today. We have a special guest, Toni Moss from the Eurocatalyst, AmeriCatalyst organization. She's the founder of it. Folks, I'm so excited about this guest. I'm excited about every program we do around here. But I'm really particularly excited about this because what this radio show is about is educating you, the listener, on what's going on. And if there's one event that I had to pick a year to go to learn what's going on in the market, it'd be Toni Moss's event, AmeriCatalyst, and it's going to be this year in Austin, Texas. We're going to be talking about it. Can't wait to have her on. She'll be on this week, and then she'll be on again in a couple of weeks to talk more about some of the things we're going to be diving into, talking about all that's going on. Toni has a unique global perspective. You're going to enjoy this discussion. Also, I want to make this note. We have started a new discussion group on LinkedIn. And as you guys, many of you know, we started the LO, Loan Origination, Compensation, and New Rules discussion group. It has over 3,380 some people, members of that. It's going through and looking at a lot of the comments. It stays an active board. But we've also started another discussion group related to the radio program. And it's Lickin' on Lending blog and discussion group. So if you, I'm putting up questions as we look at questions that we're wanting to cover, program content, it's a great place for you to go to. So for those of you that are on LinkedIn, definitely go over there and become a member if you're not, and go on and become a member of this group. We're so excited to have you be with us again this week. What we want to do is cover for you the interest rates as we do each and every week. So I'd like to bring up on the program, as we do at the top of every hour, Joe Farr of MBS Quote Line. Joe, what's going on out there? Prices are a little up right now?
Yeah, mortgage-backed security prices are up about 12, 30 seconds right now. And they started out there, and they've been kind of bouncing back and forth between up 12 and up 8. So good to see we're on the higher end of that. And we've seen that as the stock market has sold off a bit. We're off 124 points on the Dow right now. So, and all that's in spite of some better-than-expected economic news. Two things came out this morning. The ISM index came out a little better than expected, although it's still low. It was better than expected. And then construction spending, same way, had a 1.4% increase when a small decrease was expected. So ordinarily, you would have expected that to have been favorable for stocks and not so for bonds, but we're having the opposite effect. And I'll be curious to ask Toni if someone sneezed in Europe and that's caused the caused this reaction. But
there sure seems to be a lot of cause and effect, doesn't there?
Oh, there really is. It's tied so directly to what's going on over there. And last week there was some direction coming from Europe that caused mortgage rates to improve a bit. Went the other way. It didn't improve. It helped the stocks a little bit. Yeah, the
The
European finance ministers kind of put out a little more detail to their bailout plan, and then probably very importantly, Germany, the government of Germany voted to support the plan, which was a big thing that helped calm some of the market last week. Now, toward the end of the day, Friday, some of that good feeling had diminished, and MBS prices that had been much lower had turned around a bit. But anyway, I'll be very curious to find out from Toni just how And why? What's going on in Europe is so directly impacting both stocks and bonds here in the U.S. But, you know, the week before, you'll remember, Dave, the Fed came out with their statement and their policy changes, yep. Operation Twist, and then the reinvestment of proceeds from mortgage-backed securities back into mortgage-backed securities, and we saw a very big rally. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, some of that reversed. It started reversing on Friday and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We saw MBS prices fall. Thursday and Friday, they came back a little bit. But all in all, last week, there was a small increase in mortgage rates after reaching all-time lows the week before.
It's interesting to see. I can't wait. I'm thinking about your comment about Tony coming on talking about that. She talks a lot about globalization in her sessions, so she has a unique perspective on it. So, yeah, let's go on to talk about what's coming up this week.
This week, the big thing is going to be the jobs report that comes out on Friday. Always the biggest thing of the month. Only expecting 60,000 jobs, so it's certainly not a robust expectation. And it leads you to believe that, you know, is there, I guess there's always a way to miss on the downside, but that is already pretty low. The ADP report is also expected to be very low. So, you know, this week we have the jobs report on Friday. Before that, we have ADP coming out on Wednesday. Yep. We have the ISM services index on Wednesday, and we have jobless claims on Thursday. And Bernanke's doing a speech. He's got a speech he's making to before Congress on
tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, anytime he speaks, we need to be listening. But the big thing this week is going to be the non-farm payrolls at 8:30 Eastern time on Friday.
On Friday.
Be watching. It's been a market-moving event each of the last 4 or 5 months, and the latest two have been favorable because they've been weak reports. But the two before that were very unfavorable. So it is a significant event.
It won't surprise me if there won't be a significant event while we're all up in Chicago next week at the 98th National MBA Convention. We'll be broadcasting live from the floor of the convention hall. We'll be in the MBA booth, and we're going to have Jay Brinkman as our guest, one of our guests. We've got a bunch of other surprise guests walking through that are going to be trying to make it by. Alice and I will be doing the broadcast from there. And, Joe, you'll be here in Austin and just kind of monitoring things. But more than one time, we've sat at a secondary conference and we've been at a national MBA conference and watched the markets just go through some pretty significant gyrations, creating – and you could always tell what's going on, because when you're in the middle of a meeting with a secondary person and the markets start moving, they are – it's really hard to hold their attention. Joe, thank you so much for bringing us –
That's when you need that mobile app so you can see MBS prices live on your iPhone.
That's exactly right. You guys have it, and then they can. And most of them are watching it at that time. But, well, we appreciate you bringing this up each and every week, being with us, Joe, giving us a market update. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, we're excited to have you listen and be a part of the program each and every week. Tell your friends about it. Direct them over to LincolnOnLending.com. And get an update. We try to keep the program, what's coming up in the air, in future programs, updated at all times. But there's a lot going on. And so, but each and every week, we bring Alice Alvey and the mortgage update and the legislative update, the traffic report, all the various initiatives moving down the legislative highway. Alice, good to have you back. Sorry we missed you last week, but good to have you bringing us an update this week. What's going on?
Well, I think everybody was watching the loan limit issue as October 1st came and went on Saturday. And here we are, you know, October 3rd, with just really kind of having to move forward with the fact that our new maximum loan limit is back to the 625.5. For FHA lenders, you know, this is a challenge in trying to kind of figure out the balancing act with those loans, in particular streamline refinances. So one of the things I wanted to make sure everyone was aware of is FHA did hold a webinar, last week on the 27th, and that PowerPoint presentation is available. So if you can't find it online and you want to send me an email, I'd be happy to send it to you. That gave some good details about how to handle streamlined refinances, FHA to FHA refi and so forth. So I think it's important that everybody make sure you're watching your loan limits today. When did it close? When did I get a case number? What type of loan is it? And so forth. So now, then moving forward, also on the front that we're still holding our breath on today is the VA funding fee. VA issued a memo on Friday that said, hold the presses. We have something in front of the president we hope to be signed that's going to keep the funding fees the same. For those of you who do VA loans, you would be aware that VA was going to reduce its funding fee percentage on existing loans, on first mortgage principal purchase transactions, by 75 basis points across the board. So that was a great reduction. But then also on the subsequent use, it was going to be reduced by 50 basis points. So it was a nice reduction, but we now hear that it is going to all get put on hold, that they're going to stay the same. I even saw some announcements from Chase and some of the other big players saying, we're not going to buy anything until you get the funding fee remitted. Well, we can't remit funding fees today because VA is saying it's all on hold. So if you closed loans on Friday, I sure hope you used the higher funding fee amounts, to make sure that you wouldn't have to make up the cash difference this week in light of that it doesn't look like they're going to be reduced. So the VA funding fee is still on hold. I'm trying to watch the news right now. We're hoping in the next couple of days it just simply gets signed, and we're going to be working with the same funding fee amounts we've had over the last year. The other area I wanted to give everyone a quick update on, as long as I was talking about VA for a minute, you know, the uniform appraisal data set has been the big focus in the underwriting world over this last month, as the underwriters and operations are starting to get used to seeing the new reports, and as appraisers, are trying to get around the curve on where the technology is at, we've been hosting several webinars on this to try and help staff get around that curve. I also made a checklist on it. If anybody's interested in that, feel free to send me an email. I'll give it out to you for free. We put together a checklist of here's what's new in appraisal analysis from an underwriter viewpoint to make sure that they don't miss anything. I don't think the underwriters have to worry about nitty-gritty data, but, you know, in terms of abbreviation standards, because the software will check that. But there are certainly some things the underwriters want to make sure they're comfortable with as to the way the reports are supposed to look. So that's unfolding, and VA issued a circular saying that they will accept the new appraisals, but they're not going to require them. FHA is going to require it as of January 1st. So that's a quick UAD update. Now, back to my compliance, right? Here we go again. Well, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is staying quiet at the moment, so we're going to, at least this week, there was an ECOA change that was published, but that was really for more commercial side. they referenced that they want lenders to track lending to women and minority-owned businesses. So obviously that's a loan to those entities, which would be more the commercial side, not the single family. The last one I want to make sure everyone is comfortable with is I talked about a couple weeks ago that the SEC had issued an advance notice of proposed rulemaking to amend the rules under the Investment Company Act of 1940. The report that I was quoting from was based on a quick link to the rule, and I looked at it quickly, and, you know, we reported correctly, but there's more to it than that I want to make sure you're aware of. There are actually two rules that the SEC published. The one that impacts mortgages is actually what they're calling a concept release. I like that term, because when something's a concept, when it's a concept, it's not even an advance notice. It's not a rule. It's so far from reality right now that no one has to actually worry, because Joe brought up, you know, this would be a big concern to the industry, with the idea that right now lenders who put together mortgage-backed securities are exempt from this investment company definition, which therefore helps them avoid some of the rating requirements. So I know it's a lot more complicated than that for those of you who are on that side of the business, but I really want to make sure everyone's aware that it is just concept. So this is the time to talk about it. Don't wait till the 11th hour, you know, like we did with loan officer compensation and go, how the heck did that happen, right?
So true.
You know, when they say it's a concept release, they are trying to get to identifying whether the changes in the market point to problems with having exempt entities, and should there be some rules changes regarding ratings and rating agencies. The SEC is being forced to go back through every rule that references rating agencies, and they have to change that reference to be some other quality check, and they can't just blanketly say the rating agencies are checking it. The rating agencies are checking it, because we all know how that worked out. So comments should be sent. Go check this out. It's file number S7-35-11.
And is that S as in Sam?
S as in Sam, the number 7-35-11. Comments should
Perfect.
Be sent to the rules rules@sec.gov. So it's a concept release. Take a look at this. They need data from lenders. And I'm picturing more mid-sized lenders. You know, Joe, you could probably talk to this a little bit, too, on, you know, who should be jumping in and responding to. If I'm a mid-sized servicer, you know, do I need, you know, what's my potential liability in now having to be accountable to rating agencies and not be exempt from this type of SEC oversight?
Yeah, I just anything that's going to cause the issuance process to become more complicated needs to be a concern to anyone. You know, this market needs more people issuing securities rather than fewer. And even though they're just Fannie, Freddie, Jenny, you know, or being the issuer on Fannie, Freddie, Jenny, we need those processes to be streamlined as possible, or we won't have people up and doing it.
Well, and I think it's a very complex regulation to begin with, and so, you know, to your point, this is a whole new world. Mortgage bankers have been exempt from this, and now they're going to have to go learn a whole new set of guidelines in being an issuer of an asset-backed security. So there's a lot of background to be learned on this, and take a look at it. Comments are due by November 7th.
We will keep everyone updated on this. We appreciate, Alice, you bringing this update. Joe, thanks for your add-on comments. We're going to have the Profit Doctor up here in just a minute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality trainings throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Appreciate you being with us again this week, everybody. And as we do each and every week, we have the Profit Doctor bringing us updates and pearls of wisdom to share with us. So, Profit Doctor, good to have you be here with us again. I'm looking at your notes, and I'm seeing on here kind of pregnant and servicing behind it. So I know you can't be kind of pregnant, so what you got for us there, Andy Schell?
Well, hey, Dave. Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. You know, we had a brief conversation with Allison, the producer, earlier before the show, and, you know, they're both in Detroit, and they're good friends of ours, and, you know, we're down here in Texas with the Cowboys, and you know what happened on Saturday? I couldn't believe it. A come-from-behind loss to the
Ooh,
Lions.
Ooh, go Lions!
How did that even happen?
All right.
Well, Lions are off to a great start. Let's hope that it doesn't repeat like their previous seasons. Hopefully they'll do well. But anyway,
yes.
Kind of pregnant. I just couldn't leave that. People had to know Alice's team won. Go Lions.
Yay. Yeah. Tigers won, too. Tigers beat the Yankees. Woohoo.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, so kind of pregnant. How are you kind of pregnant? Well, this is a friend of mine was telling me about their daughter that was newly married, and she came over and say, "Mom and Dad, I'm kind of pregnant." And the parents kind of hoped that they would wait. You know, she's newly married, and but still they wanted them to wait a while to have kids. And the parents go, "So are you okay? Have you been to the doctors? Are they okay?" And she goes, "Yeah, fine. Everything's fine. But I just want to let you know that I'm kind of pregnant." And, you know, how do you get kind of pregnant? That's what I was wondering. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either are or you're not. It's a binary condition. It's not something that's conditional. It either you are pregnant or you're not. And this is what mortgage banks talk about loan servicing. You ask a mortgage banker, "So are you a loan servicer?" And they go, "You know, we're kind of a servicer. We're not really a servicer. We're just kind of a servicer." You know, when I ask them if they're a servicer, they'll go, "Well, no, not really. We're not Fannie Mae approved." And if I ask, do you ever collect a payment from a customer? They'll go, "Well, maybe one or two a month." And then I'll ask them or dive deeper into the organization and talk about it. And it turns out the reality is they're collecting 20 or 30 first payments a month, obviously depending on their volume. But first payment collections are always more than a mortgage banker will tell you they are. And if you talk about servicing, you go, "No, we're not a servicer. We're not Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie approved. We're just making loans and selling servicing released." Well, if you're collecting a first payment, then you're servicing. You know, maybe it's called interim servicing, and you're servicing for yourself, but you are servicing. And here's the key point. When a mortgage bank makes a loan to a customer and the customer makes a payment to the mortgage bank, then that mortgage bank's servicing their own loan. And again, interim servicing is what it is. And here's the really scary part about this, is that when you're a servicer, when you're collecting payments from customers, when you're calling people to get them to send you the money that they owe you, there are certain federal regulations that come into play, not the least of which is the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the FDCPA. How many mortgage banks, mid-tier, smaller mortgage banks selling on a servicing released basis have ever read the FDCPA? How many of the accounting folks that are actually making that call to collect the first payment, if they even know that they're supposed to collect the first payment, know the rules about the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act? From the customers that we first start working with until we help we get them set up to do this, they have no idea. Here's another point. When a mortgage bank collects that first payment, they're also then required to provide to the customer and submit to the IRS a 1098, and that has to be done at the end of the year by January 31st. And sometimes smaller mid-tier mortgage banks collect first payments and don't capture any of the 1098 data. And technically, they should report the 1098 data off the HUD-1 and the first payment. And what about escrows? If they're collecting payments on a first payment on a loan that is escrowed at month end, there are escrow funds that mortgage bank at month end must report as fiduciary funds and has to be held as a separate liability on the balance sheet and in a separate cash account titled held for the benefit of others. A lot of servicers, a lot of mortgage bank originators who are servicing released sellers will have loans on their books at month end that are not sold yet. And those loans that are on the books of the mortgage company at month end are a loan held for sale by the mortgage bank. They're also, if they're escrowed, they have an escrow liability that has to be reflected on the balance sheet of the mortgage company. And the problem is a lot of warehouse line lenders will net fund the loan, including net funding escrow. So it looks like there's no money, but if the customer brought in money for hazard insurance and taxes and so forth, those funds have to be on the books of the mortgage company. We see this error all the time, all over the place. And, you know, if a first payment is due to the lender, but the lender never collects the payment, what do you have if you have a loan that was made and the first payment was never collected? You have a first payment default. And that first payment default potentially creates a repurchase liability over the entire life of the loan that you just sold. So this is a big deal. Interim servicing is a huge issue. Every mortgage bank that sells on a servicing release basis still has interim servicing. I've never seen a mortgage bank not have at least one or two first payment issues. It always comes up. 1098 reporting issues always come up. And not collecting first payments is a really important problem that mortgage banks need to watch. So if you're a mortgage bank, you've got to collect those first payments. So they're due to you. It's your responsibility to collect it. You need to collect it. So since you're really, the reality is, you're not kind of servicing. If you're a mortgage bank selling on a servicing release basis, you're not kind of servicing. You are servicing. You're interim servicing. You may be servicing for yourself, but you're subject to all the rules and guidelines of servicing, except that you're not doing investor remittances yet. But you're on the path to be able to do that. So it's important to track all this activity. You got to have a tracking system to know when the loans are closed, when first payments are due to you, and to go collect the first payments, be sure and collect them, and then report them on a 1098 basis. And if you're using the loan accounting system that we teach people how to install, then you're going to have this issue covered. It'll be part of loan-level accounting. If you're not doing loan-level accounting, you may be missing the boat on some of this stuff. So those 1098s have to be reported. You know, it could be that you got a lock extension that caused the first payment, some documentation issues that were late in getting to the investor that caused the investor to purchase the loan later in the month, in which case you're getting the first payment and they're buying the second payment. This gives accounting, if it's not set up right, all kinds of grief. You've got to watch this stuff. So all of this to say, the point of all of this is have good procedures to support servicing activity and never forget about the first payments that are due to you. Interim servicing is a very significant and important function that must be closely monitored. If you don't monitor it closely, it'll get out of hand. We see it all the time. We're called in to help people fix their interim servicing, fix their loan level accounting, deal with these issues, and there always are issues if they're not monitored correctly. So, and it's not that difficult to get an interim servicing platform set up. And if you have a good interim servicing platform, now here's the good part. If you've got a good interim servicing platform already in place, it's not that big of a leap to add investor remitting, investor reporting functions. And that's the only piece left. And you want to be able to do that because you want to be on the path to be able to retain servicing. So like it or not, if you're a mortgage bank, you're already a servicer, maybe only interim servicing, but you're already a servicer. You need to get on the path to being able to retain servicing. So you're not kind of pregnant. If you're servicing, if you're a mortgage bank selling on a release basis, you really are servicing. You need to do it right and get ready to hold servicing because the value proposition of holding MSRs, retaining servicing, is very, very significant. And we're going to talk more about this in future segments. There's some issues floating around the service fee that we need to address. But for now, collecting the payment and servicing and that money is yours. So do it well. Get your first payments. Do your reporting. Watch your interim servicing. And Dave, that's the profit doctor.
Especially if you look at the upcoming call report and the reporting that's going on, so critical. Thank you so much, Andy. For the sake of time, I want to move on, but boy, I'd love to spend some more time into that. Folks, we'll be right back with Tony Moss after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back. This is David Licken with Licken on Lending. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us each and every week, whether it be on a download basis or live. Looking at the panel, people are called in, again, from all over the country, listening live. And I know there's probably 10 times more than that listening on a streaming basis. Thank you so much for making us a weekly part of your information and education of what's going on. I said at the opening of the program that if there was one event that I had to recommend to every mortgage person in the industry to be at when it comes to education, when it comes to understanding what is going on, it would be our next guest event. Tony Moss of AmeriCatalyst also with Eurocatalyst. Tony heard me speak in Chicago. It's interesting, we're going to be back up in Chicago here next week, and flew back to Europe, where she was living at the time, and had been living for a number of years, and invited me to come back and speak at her event in Madrid, Spain. And it was a Madrid, yes, it was wonderful, a wonderful time. Met Tony, met a lot of amazing people. But I just, if you, the listener, have ever walked into an event and you're going, I can't believe I'm here, listening to who I'm here listening to. Tony puts together probably one of the most exciting invitational-only events. If you have, if my goal in this program, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, Tony, is I got a long introduction I could do of you, but one of the things I want to make sure our listeners, if you're listening to my goal, if we accomplish what I want to accomplish, is to get people aware of your event, number one, and make them aware of the intelligent dialogue. It's not a conference where you just hear people expounding on different things. This is a think tank where some of the best minds in the world, literally in the world, get together to talk about it. So I'm going to go into that a little bit more. Tony, welcome to the program. Good to have you be here. I know that I didn't get into your 27 national mortgage markets that you've served in. I didn't get into the many, many years you've served in the industry and all that you've done in Europe. But you are truly one of the international consultants that has a unique perspective on all that's going on. Welcome to the program. And I know we're not going to have near enough time, and we're going to have you back again in a couple of weeks to talk in more depth. Hopefully we'll have more time, more specifics. And but let's start off by talking a little bit about your background, how you got into this. For many of you, many people don't know that you almost went pro on tennis. We don't want to spend a lot of time there, but tennis background. And then you got from tennis somehow into being the number one consultant in all of Western Europe. How did you go from – how did you get there?
Oh, boy. Well, I my tennis career ended due to an injury when I was 16 years old. And yep. So I went on to college and studied journalism and became a corporate and political speechwriter and started writing speeches for the world's largest multinational conglomerate, which, ironically enough, is what got me interested in globalization to begin with. And from there, because you're putting words into the chairman's mouth and doing all the research behind those words, that took me into corporate intelligence. And from there, this company had a servicer that was hemorrhaging money, and so I volunteered to go and investigate, which required me to learn the mortgage industry. And I became so enamored with it and, frankly, appalled by it at the same time in terms of the inefficiencies, that I decided to get involved in the industry. And so I started off owning a due diligence firm. So I typically take a forensic approach to the markets to begin with. And we did all the seller due diligence on the HUD single-family sales, which at that time were the largest sales in history. And then I went over to Europe in 97 to help build the largest third-party servicer in continental Europe. So, wow. And then I lived there for 13 years and came back to the U.S. in 2009.
Well, so that's my route. That's your route. It gives background, I think, as people get to know you. And there's so much wonderful things to get to know you. You've become a very dear friend of mine and someone I respect so much. There's your conference that's coming up November 7th. It's actually starting the evening of the 8th, and then it goes all day Monday the 7th and a little bit on the – and half a day on the Tuesday the 8th. You're opening up, and you talk about the big picture of globalization and housing. And I'd like to – I want to bring Joe on here, and we have so little time today. It's just kind of frustrating this program's getting squeezed down because there's so much I want to talk about and bring to our listeners. But I want to get to the point of globalization. And, Joe, you've got some questions. I know some of your customers and listeners that you have listening to the program would love to get a perspective on. So I'm going to toss the mic to you.
Okay. Well, Tony, we mentioned Europe, and we mentioned its impact on the market last week, the week before, seems like it's this week, and it seems to be flip-flopping. Every time things seem to be resolving itself in a positive way, someone issues a rumor or something comes out. Why is the situation over there so fluid? And then help our listeners understand sort of how and why it's impacting our market so directly.
Well, First of all, it's not really flip-flopping. It's a very clear, steady decline. And The Economist last week had a cover which really tells it all. The cover says...
You're talking about the magazine
economy,
The Economist, right?
Yes, the magazine The Economist, which
right.
is really one of the world's most respected but conservative publications. And the cover said, "The world economy, be afraid." And, you know, that just speaks volumes that they would go so far as to do a cover like that. But I talk a lot about globalization, and from my perspective, it's not just economic. Globalization is everywhere, and I think that people really don't attribute a lot of the changes that are occurring in mass media and technology and transportation, as well as economically, have led us to a stage of, and this is the theme of our event this year, convergence, which is really the end of a very long history. And what I mean by convergence is that everything in the world is now inextricably wed to each other. And so what you're seeing in Europe, as well as you're seeing here in the United States, you know, globalization threatens the sovereignty of nations because money can move anywhere in the world. People have to stay behind to pay taxes in that country. But it also, you know, it threatens the limits of power and the limits of governments. And so a knee-jerk reaction to that is always going to be regulation. So you should expect more regulation rather than less of it. But what we really see right now, and we've seen since 2007, is the limit of monetary policy. We really have reached the end of history in terms of that, because monetary policy, as we see it today, is no longer able to fix the situation. And I've and a lot of the people that I talk to at the IMF, the World Bank, European Central Bank, even the Treasury, we all whisper to each other, my God, there's going to be a real collapse in 2012, a global economic collapse. And it finally occurred to me the other day that the collapse is already happening. We're right
it
in
is.
The middle of it. It's inevitable, but it's happening right now. And I think that it's going to take a real change in mindset and psychologically for people to really understand this and prepare for it and change their strategies as a result of it. The only reason that you're not seeing it happen sooner is, although we've reached the end of monetary policy, structural policy is prolonging it so that we don't have
that,
as much of a hard
line. Is that government? Is that the various
yes.
governments doing things?
Yes, absolutely. And what the failure of Greece really means is that we're going back to, although this isn't a complete precedent, we don't have any precedents for what's happening right now, but in 1934, 48% of the world's economies declared default and had to go through sovereign restructuring, and it was only World War II that really brought us out of that. And that's exactly where we are. So when Greece defaults, it's not a matter of if, it's when, it will cause a trigger reaction and a domino effect. And the most frightening one to fail will be Spain. But at risk right now in that chain are Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Spain,
right.
and even Japan.
Well, Tony,
and I wish I had better news, but
yeah,
that
that's a pretty dire picture. Is there, time frames? Do you anticipate any of this to begin to happen in the next weeks or?
Well,
or?
As I've said, I frankly, I'm a little bit concerned that Greece will have already failed by the time of our event, which is November 6th through the 8th. And this is one of the big topics at the event, and we've been covering it for the last 3 years. We're relatively known for being way ahead of the game and unfortunately talking about things that people don't want to hear. But since 2002, we've been pretty darn accurate about, you know, what's going to happen next. So I wish I had a better prognosis, but this is not a perfect storm. This is climate change. The market is never going back to the way that it was. And the United States is and frankly, all Western countries are not going to enjoy the same privileges they've had. The economic base and the money is moving to emerging markets, and they're moving east. And that's also a topic we've been covering for the last 3 years.
Yeah, the U.S., though, the U.S. has always been the place to where people put their money, the place where they go when there are issues abroad. And do you see that changing? Are we not going to be the safe haven?
I certainly don't see it. And a lot of the people that I speak to on a regular basis don't see that. And that doesn't mean that I'm anti-American. I get that a lot. You know, you talk about the truth, and people are so afraid to hear it that they start calling you names. But, you know, the fact is that we're over-leveraged, and as our mortgage situation has shown, we've lived on way too much credit, and the dysfunction in Washington really causes investors to hesitate continuing to invest. And you even had China saying recently the U.S. needs to get its act together. I mean, that is a really strong statement. And then you heard Putin say that we're spoiled and that we're living on too much credit. So there are really, really unprecedented and significant things happening around the world and feedback that we're getting that are just getting much worse by the dysfunction in Washington.
Well, there's certainly a perspective that, you know, well, I'm going to come back. I appreciate your perspective. A lot of people may think it's un-American, but how could, when you're bringing people the truth, when you're bringing a perspective, and folks, listeners, this person, when I was in Europe, some of the top ministers of finance, she's in direct relationship with. She was telling me the office that she can just walk into. This is not a perspective of fear or throwing information out there that's negative. It's a realistic view of what's going on. We've got some things coming around the corner, folks, that we've got to deal with, and that's why this event, I think, is so critical. We'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Also in Austin, Texas, is Tony Moss and, of course, our beloved Joe Park. And it's hot here in Texas, but it's hot in the markets. And Tony is just bringing us what I think is a realistic perspective of what we can see. Like my producer was saying in my ear, he says, wow, she's making some bold statements. That's what we need to hear, folks. We cannot just be a part of the choir and everyone singing along like everything's going along. It's analogous to rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. We've got some serious stuff. We've got some serious holes we've got to deal with. That's what the Convergence Conference is about. I want each and every one of you to consider going there. This is an invitational-only event. You can't go there and just show up. You've got to email us. You got to. We'll see if you want to. Email me, let me know about it, and we'll get you invited to the conference. But this is a serious conference, and probably of all the conferences you've done, Tony, this is probably one of the most significant conferences, and this is something you've been saying, but as I talk to you, I realize it. Explain to our listeners what is so significant about this year of all the conferences you've done.
Well, first of all, we've been telling a story since 2002, and each story is a chapter every year, and we pick up each year where we left off the previous year. And so when you put the whole story together and you realize in our 10th year where we are and where we've come from, You know, this is a very pivotal point in history, and I mentioned earlier that we've reached the end of our history in the sense that there are no previous precedents, and everybody from central banks around the world to governments around the world at this point are just making it up as we go along because we really don't know the outcome, and we've found that moving in one direction causes unintended consequences in the other. So
yes.
It really, you know, it requires a different way of being in the world. And as I said, it's not just about education. This is really changing your mindset. And some people really don't have the courage to accept that, frankly. And,
yeah,
I can certainly understand.
Is it beyond a new paradigm? How would you characterize that?
Well, I think that the entire world has changed, right? There's always this,
yeah,
this progressive move. We went through the industrial era. We went through the information age. And now we've reached a point at which convergence, where everything we do has consequences elsewhere, requires incredible compromise and on an international scale. And look at the fact that we can't even manage that on a national scale. Nobody wants to compromise.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to ask, is the fundamental issue that too many people, too many nations are spending more than they have? They're borrowing just like we are, and we're seeing that first start where they've borrowed the greatest.
Well, absolutely. I mean, a lot of countries have been living on credit, and you know, this is where you really get into the difficult issues. You take a Nobel Prize-winning economist like Joe Stiglitz or Paul Krugman, who are saying we need to spend more in order to get ourselves out of this. I happen to agree with them. On the other, which
wow,
tends to go against conventional wisdom, but you know, this is where the really difficult issues and decisions need to be made. So, yes, everyone has been overspending and they can't afford the interest on their debt. The other problem, for example, with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, one thing you never hear about are the geopolitical implications of winding down Fannie and Freddie. I mean, forget the implications for the future of the U.S. mortgage industry, but $2.5 trillion of that debt is owned by Russia and China. They can't
yeah,
fail. Because we have to pay that back. So, you know, you see a lot of currency wars over the last couple of years, a lot of discussion about the U.S. dollar no longer being the standard, and the Chinese want to implement SDRs. I mean, you know, the end result, if there is a trigger reaction, and as I said, I think it's inevitable. I don't think that it's probable. But it's really going to lead to an end of the fiat currency system. And I can't believe I'm saying that. And I have conversations
wow,
with some pretty important people, and I have to tell you that every single conversation we say to each other, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I want to get so – I know. Every time I sit down with you, and I was at dinner with you and Shirley, who is so important, and she's responsible for program content and staging and so much. And, folks, if you haven't been to a conference that's this guy, this has got some of the most amazing staging you have ever seen. Not only is the content rich, but it's set in an environment here at Barton Creek Center in Austin, Texas. And the way it's put on is so – above board. You've never experienced anything like it. I don't care how many conferences you've gone to. It's at that kind of caliber in class. Andy Schell, I want to get you in here, and then I want to bounce quickly. We've just got a couple of minutes left, and then hardly even that. But I don't know if we want to go into servicing yet. If we have enough room, we may have to do that when she comes back. But I want to bounce the mic to you and get a couple of your thoughts in this or any questions you have for Tony.
Well, you know, they say never follow a comedian or a kid, and in this case, I say never follow somebody talking about globalization and cataclysmic outcomes, because the stuff I want to talk about is so insignificant relative to what you guys are talking about.
If it's servicing, it's not insignificant, because servicers
yeah,
are really the ones responsible for economic remediation at this point. So in my mind, servicing, it's really the center of the mortgage life cycle, and it's been the most ignored yet important aspect of this industry frankly, since the beginning. But, you know, servicers have been treated like fat kids on the soccer team, and the longer you're treated like that, the more you start to act like it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree with you on that point. Well, let me ask you this then. One of the issues we're struggling with and concerned about going forward is the whole debate over the service fee. And we're talking about cutting from 25 to 12.5, and Manny at one point talked about zero and just make money off of the late charges. And so what are your thoughts on where you think we're going to end with the service fee issue?
Well, actually, we have two sessions on servicing this year, three of them, and one of them is servicing standards and the other is servicing compensation. I think that servicing compensation is one of the most the lack of compensation to the servicers is really horrifying. We want to establish these standards that are very expensive to comply with, and yet we don't want to compensate for them. And when you look at the economics of the life cycle, all the money goes to the front end. So let's incent everybody on the front end to give the money away, but let's not incent the guys on the back end to collect the money. And then you wonder how we got into this crisis. And the other thing is that servicing is not the originator's back office. It's the investor and consumer's front office.
Mm-hmm.
And until we really accept that, I think that the industry is going to stay backwards.
Great perspective.
We're entirely dependent upon servicers at this time.
When you're talking about the fact that the servicing is such an essential function for the investor, which obviously it is, and what's staggering to me is in the midst of the agencies talking about cutting the service fee, the industry is incurring significant losses and significant costs because of the loss MIT activity that's been going on now since 2007 and 2008. So it just seems like somebody is clueless as they start thinking through these issues. How do we
You know, what I really think, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I worked on creating the largest third-party servicer in continental Europe, and we had activity-based pricing. So our pricing was very transparent, and I think that that would work extremely well here in the United States, because then we could compare apples to apples, and everyone would understand what the costs are. Especially for distressed assets and non-performing loans. And why that isn't occurring is just beyond me. And it's very frustrating for me personally because I've worked here in the U.S. in servicing and I've worked in 27 other countries around the world. The U.S. tends to think we can't learn anything from anyone else. but at the same time, I'm not part of that dialogue. And the irony is that when you produce a conference, suddenly you're reduced from being a world expert to a conference producer. And so that's where people just really don't understand what this conference is really about and why it was created, because it certainly wasn't created to make a profit. It doesn't. But it was created with a purpose, and that purpose was to improve the products, processes, and practices of the industry and actually reposition the entire industry, and that really starts with servicing.
Well, as you talk about the activity-based costing for servicing, I think that really has some resonance, because if you think about servicing, it's a factory operating on a fixed fee with a variable base. You know, principal balance goes down, fee goes down, irrespective of the activity requirements. And so having it more activity-based and even cost-based based on the activities as a direct pass-through, it would change the way securities work today, but it would help with some of the issues we face in servicing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real problem also with investors coming back into the market until we fix all of the current servicing issues. And there are just so many issues surrounding that where a lot of the current special servicers who are far better placed to deal with distressed loans than some of the mega servicers, they're just not getting any volume. These portfolios aren't being sold. They don't have the volume, and frankly, I'm concerned about the long-term viability of special servicers, even though they are absolutely the best at economic remediation.
I'm looking at the clock. I hate to do this. I want to get to one question that Alice, in fact, Alice if on the QRM, because this ties in exactly. My concern is QRM chasing away the very things, the investors that we need in the market. Alice, I want to toss you the question. When I'm looking at the clock, let's get a quick perspective and a teaser, Tozy, to have when, for our listeners to come back and listen to you on this perspective here in a couple of weeks. Quickly, your thoughts on the QRM 20% down, the pros and cons. You talk about the consequences.
Well, I'm going to say something really quickly. Part of our problem here is that investors thought that they were buying interest rate risk historically, but instead they ended up buying credit risk. And so, frankly, I think that 20% down is probably a good thing from the perspective of investors buying back into the market.
But it'll obviously have some consequences on getting
volume.
People back into the market and greater volume. So there's such an important dialogue that goes on at your events, Tony. If there's, for our listeners, and Tony, I just cannot encourage our listeners enough to get to the program of this. After you attend one program, Andy Schell went to it. I had him come and listen to you. He said as he walked away from it, and Andy Schell's right up there at the top in the brain cell category. I put him up there very high, and he walked away from it. He says, the most significant educational conference. He says, I don't even want to go to any other conferences from this point on. This is what I want. It's that at that level intellectually, and it's who you have there. You got Josh Rosner who's speaking there, Tim Skeet. I'm looking through this group. Also, Kyle Bass, and some of the dialogue you had last year with Kyle was astounding. I wish, and for those that want to, you can go out to the website and listen to some of the content. Tony, let's give our listeners an update on your on the website address real fast.
It's www.americatalyst.com.
Americatalyst.com. Go out there, take a look at that. Tony, thank you so much for being with us. Alice, I apologize. We didn't get to your question. We ran out of time. And I'm looking at some things. I want to get Tony Garitano on here in just a minute. But Tony Moss, we'll look forward to having you back here in a couple of weeks. And I want to dive into this, the whole topic of servicing. And then also, what is it? I'd like to have you come back and say, what is it that you would like each of our listeners to be thinking about, and probably the most significant issue? That's the thing I want to tease up for next week, or not next week, but the week after next, when you're back and talking about your event and all that's going on. Tony Moss, thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. I want to go back out to Tony Garitano. Another two Tonys, back-to-back Tonys, like the Tony Awards here. So we got Tony with an I. We're visiting with. Now we got Tony with a Y, Tony Garitano. The reason I'm so excited to have Tony on the program is I got invited, Tony, to speak at your event, which is the Engage 2011 event. Alice and I are going to speak at that. But also I got added to a panel on technology. There's a lot going on out there. I want to make sure we have your mic turned on. Are you there?
I'm here, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I do. I hear you loud and clear. We've just got a few moments here before we have to start the drum roll and exit out. I want to talk about keeping up with documentation changes. How in the world do they – what's your recommendations on that?
Well, I think that we need to, as an industry, move towards a more data-driven approach. So you need doc preps that can actually pull data from your LOS and from other sources instead of just dealing with a pre-selected forms library. And that's going to help people like Tony when they talk about servicing issues as well.
So you're talking about being able to pull information all the way through, but we're facing the data checks along the way, which seems to be such a big issue. But let's jump to another question. I'm going to be talking somewhat about the future. What is the future of doc prep, Tony?
Well, I think that what you're seeing it with UMDP and UAD and a lot of other investor requirements, I'm sure, as they get back into the industry, if that happens hopefully soon. They're going to require lenders to rely more on data, and doc preps have to adopt to that. So that's the future, I think, where we rely more on a data-driven process versus paper documents.
Folks, if you're going to be at the conference in Chicago, Tony Garitano has the Engage 2011 event. It's free. Invites you to come in there. He's got some of the top technologists there, as well as myself and Alice. We'll be talking about regulations, giving an update. We appreciate you being a part of our listening audience. Tony, thank you so much. Tony Garitano, thank you for being with us. Tony Moss, thank you very much for being with us, as well as our regulars, Andy Schell, Alice Alvey, and Joe Farr. Folks, begin to pass this around. Remember, the LinkedIn discussion group, Licking on Lending. You can go there and give us content, feedback on the program, and what you would like us to have on an upcoming program. Have a great week. We'll be broadcasting next week from Chicago at the NBA. Look forward to talking to you then. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.